So happy to see you.
So pleasant to see you.
Please
sit. I go sit.
Are you ready?
I will.
Thank you, sir.
Prabhu, where are you? Where are you from?
South Africa.
Oh, you are a friend from South Africa. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Kalindi.
Oh, we should read past times about the Kalindi today.
Yeah.
Where did we leave off?
We were hearing about Nanda Maharaj in the clutches of Varunadeva. Actually,
28.
Krishna had come.
Yeah. 28. We'll go to 29. Oh, yeah. Om You know how to cut cloth quietly?
I was thinking we should sit in the background.
Oh, maybe in a different building or something.
I don't know if you're coming. What will we do?
Sit somewhere else, for sure. Yes.
They want to listen to you. Stop recording.
When Krishna makes leave, he makes them very quietly. No one even notices. Suddenly they're there.
Anyone else can move forward so we can
help you? When we left, we had spoken about the 28th chapter. Which of course, of the 10th canto, which of course came after the 27th chapter. Let's see. Which was after the Govardhan Lila, which was the 25th chapter, the 24th and 25th chapter. Actually, in one sense, began in the 24th chapter, 23rd chapter, where in the place in Vrindavan, just by the Yamuna, called Bhatral. And there's a deity there, called Bhatro Bihari. And right now there's a temple there, and outside the temple there's a huge boat. And one wonders what the huge boat is doing there. And it's quite a modern boat, and it's huge, and the Yamuna is certainly not right there. And even if it was, it would touch the bottom very easily, probably. So there was one sadhu who used to live in this boat. So somehow it ended up in front of Bhatral Bihari. But Bhatral Bihari is very famous because there Krishna came as Bhatral Bihari he sent his friends first to beg food on behalf of Balaram and Krishna. Because the cowherd boys and Krishna were wandering nearby. Now this is, of course, astounding, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is unlimitedly opulent. And when one is unlimitedly opulent, one needs not to beg anything from anyone, obviously. Even if one has a little opulence in this world, there's no question of begging. Begging is for beggars. But Krishna, the unlimitedly opulent Supreme Lord, herding cows with his friends, and Balaram in the area, was asked by the boys, because they had gone early in the morning to take to herd the cows, so they were hungry. Actually, the boys themselves, being Vrijbasis, were only thinking about Krishna. So they were thinking that Krishna is hungry. But if you ask someone directly, you must be hungry, aren't you? Of course, amongst boys, it's one thing. But if you say, are you hungry? And everyone, you're in somebody's house, and they say, are you hungry? What's the natural response? Oh, no, I'm not hungry. So instead of saying to Krishna, are you hungry? And Krishna would respond, no, I'm not hungry. The boy said, oh, Krishna, we're so hungry. And therefore Krishna told them how to get some food. He told them to go to the village of Bhatral. And in the village of Bhatral, he didn't use that name in the Bhagavatam, but that's where it is. In that village, there's a sacrifice being performed. And this is, in one sense, this is the beginning of the Govardhan Lila pastime, because the same sacrifice was going to be performed by Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna stopped that sacrifice. It was a sacrifice to Indra. It was a sacrifice for elevation to the heavenly planets, to satisfy Indra. So Krishna wanted to stop that, and he had many reasons for that. And here's where the pastime actually began. So Krishna, we know the story well, how the Brahmins refused. They wouldn't even respond to the boys when they came begging food on behalf of Balaram. Balaram being a Kshatriya, they used his name first. Balaram is nearby, Krishna is nearby, and they are hungry. Please, this is the proper time to give food in charity. So now, you please give us some food so we can feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the Brahmins, they completely ignored the request. They didn't even respond. They didn't even acknowledge the presence of the cowherd boys and their request. And the cowherd boys were so disappointed, they left in great frustration, and they went to Krishna. And Krishna, he told them, this is the nature of begging. When you beg, you sometimes gain what you want. Sometimes people ignore you. Sometimes you gain more than you want. Sometimes you're satisfied, very satisfied. Don't take it seriously. And also, these were Brahmins, so there was no difficulty in what they did. Prabhupada, in Mayapur, 1976, in one lecture, he even made that point. Did I mention this last time? That he said that when you're begging, meaning when you're approaching someone on behalf of Krishna, for that time it was life membership more than anything else, or any kind of preaching, and the person doesn't give you what you have requested of him, don't be unhappy, don't be disappointed. And Prabhupada said, because that means that Krishna, within his heart, upadrashta anumanta cha, he is the anumanta, the permitter. He has not permitted this person to give. So don't be disappointed. Because a beggar, a preacher, duty is just to do their duty, or any devotee's duty, and the proper mentality is they just do their duty and leave the results up to Krishna. So when one is begging or distributing books or whatever, the result is between Krishna and the person as to how they will reciprocate with the request for service. So in any case, the cowherd boys were preached to by Krishna and said, this is the nature of begging. And then he told them to go back to the same village, to the same place where the sacrifice was being performed, but this time approached the wives. Because the wives, different from the brahmanas, were devotees. They had somehow or another heard about Krishna, because in Vrindavan there were people who were wandering from one part of Vrindavan to another, selling things. People selling food in one village, they would go from one village to the next village, and they would tell the news of the last village they had visited to the next village they visited. And everyone in Vrindavan was always telling the news about Krishna, because by nature everyone in Vrindavan loved Krishna. But also, this is Bhava Oshad, this is the medicine, the Oshad, the medicine that cures the deep disease of materialistic life. Now, usually we don't think of materialistic life as a disease, but in fact the whole thing from beginning to end is a disease, and it's a lethal disease ultimately, and it is bound to kill us. And this disease has one cure, and the one cure is to become attracted to Krishna, more and more attracted to Krishna. Because one who has that, takes that medicine, Baba Oshod, then he doesn't want, his taste is quite different. So it's actually essential for this reason. And also this taste is very pleasing to the heart and to the mind. Bharamat, Abhiramat is the word used in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, 1st chapter. It is pleasing to the mind and the heart, the Krishna Katha. So the people in Vrindavan would only talk about Krishna. They had a natural and spontaneous taste for talking about Krishna, and not to become absorbed in other things. How wonderful that is. And this is really the prayer that really ends the 26th chapter, which of course occurs a little later, is that the cowherd men and the residents of Vrindavan or Sukadev Goswami, they're all just praying, let me increase my attraction to Krishna. Because what else do we really want to attain in this world? Of course, we want to serve that attraction to Krishna and serve the devotees of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu and their great mission of spreading Krishna consciousness, Krishna Katha, all over the world, the holy names all over the world. But we want to increase our attraction to Krishna, and that will certainly help us in a wonderful way serve the holy names of Krishna and an attraction to Krishna. Because if we don't become attracted to Krishna, I know this very well personally, if we don't become attracted to Krishna, so many other attachments and so many other attractions will enter the heart. They must enter the heart, because by nature our consciousness seeks pleasure, and if it doesn't find its pleasure in the association of devotees, in Krishna Katha, and that's basically what association of devotee means. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido. That in the association of devotees, this is the essence of the association, it is attraction to Krishna and Krishna Katha. So in any case, the wives of the brahmanas had heard from the different sellers who used to go from village to village about Krishna. And amazingly enough, just by hearing about Krishna, they became attracted to him and very attached to him. So being sent by Krishna, Krishna obviously wanted to set up a contrast between the very official brahmanas who were performing the sacrifice but didn't really know the essence of sacrifice, what it really meant that sacrifice, Yajnavalkya Vishnu, it is meant to please the Lord. And if we perform a sacrifice exactly properly, but Krishna isn't pleased by it, have we really performed the sacrifice at all? There's an expression, the operation was a success, but... Yes, that was a great operation, but we did it really great. We really got it right, but unfortunately, one little problem, the patient died. So we're meant to be developing our attraction for Krishna more and more and more. So the Brahmins, the contrast that Krishna sets up is first he sends the cowherd boys to the Brahmins and then to their wives who are actually fully deep and spontaneous devotees. So Krishna knew that. So he sent, even though he had never directly met them, but he knew, because he certainly knows the heart of his devotees. So he sent the cowherd boys, and they went a little bit hesitatingly because they had just been rejected. So when one is rejected, their plea is rejected, it's difficult to try again. But they were under the order of Krishna, and he told them, don't worry, you just go. Don't worry, let's go. So they went to the cowherd, the Brahmanis, the ladies, and they said, Krishna is nearby with his elder brother, Balaram. Nearby, they are herding the cows. And they kept on speaking, and they sort of preached to the Brahman that Krishna is the lady. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this and that, and this and that. But they looked at them, and they also didn't answer. And they thought, this is really amazing. We asked the Brahmins to, we told them everything, we asked them for everything, and they completely ignored us. And now we're talking to the Brahmanis, even though Krishna said everything was going to be right because they're devotees, and they're also ignoring us. But there was a big difference between the type of ignoring. The wives of the Brahmins, they went into ecstasy. As soon as they heard Krishna is nearby with Balaram, as soon as they heard the name Krishna is nearby, they became speechless in their ecstasy. This is devotion. Just by hearing the name of Krishna, one can associate with Krishna in such a deep way that one actually experiences one's loving relationship with Krishna. And they had attained that just by hearing about Krishna, quite amazingly. But they had heard from other residents of Vrindavan. So when they heard that Krishna was nearby, they were speechless. But they immediately started moving in their ecstasy and gathering all the food. They got golden plates together and they put all the food that was meant for the sacrifice. And they put everything together and they followed the cowherd boys to where Krishna and Balaram was. And suddenly, when they were there, and they were, of course, their husbands who were performing the sacrifice, they tried to stop them, but they couldn't stop them. They couldn't stop them. So they went, followed the boys to where Krishna was, and suddenly they saw Krishna. And there's a wonderful verse, unfortunately I don't remember it, a wonderful verse in this chapter of the Bhagavatam, in the 23rd chapter of the Bhagavatam, that describes what they saw. and how Krishna had a lotus flower, a land lotus, in his left hand. Just tell me the first word and see if I can get any more love. And he was twirling a lotus flower, and it's more or less the picture that the deities Krishna and Balaram are made from, because Krishna, except it was Balaram, but Krishna's hand is resting on his friend, one of his coward boy friends, his right hand, his elbow.
Shamam
Aranya
Paridim Paridim
Paridim
Vanamalya.
Haranya, he was his dhoti was gold. It was gold like lightning. And he was wearing a garland of forest flowers, Vanamalya Barha. Yes? And what's the next line?
Dhatu Pavala.
And he was covered, the minerals of Vrindavan, his face was decorated with them. I used to wonder what that meant. You know, were they just went like this and all different colors all over their face, like they had come from some football match or soccer game or something like that. But no, it's not like that at all. It's just how the deities are decorated. How when one is decorating the deities with the different colors, very, very delicately putting dots here and this color and that color, very, very delicately making different designs on the cheeks, etc., and many, many different colors. So because the water was there from the different lakes and rivers of Vrindavan, and the clay was there, especially Govardhan had so many different minerals and clays, the cowherd boys would take that and make their paste, and they would decorate Krishna. And of course, naturally, they all wanted to decorate Krishna. Why? Because that's what they like to do, is decorate Krishna. But if they all wanted to decorate Krishna, there was going to be a problem, because there was Krishna and there was too many cowherd boys there. So Krishna, this is described in other chapters by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, perhaps, how Krishna he expanded himself so that each boy, because everyone thinks the way they decorate is the best, just naturally. You don't know how to decorate, I'll show you how to decorate. So Krishna would expand himself and give everyone a chance to serve him. So this is the special nature of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he can actually satisfy all his devotees. We wish that everyone would love us and serve us, but we don't have the capacity to satisfy everyone. It's hard enough to satisfy one person in this world, even if you try your best and put all your energy into once satisfying one person, you can't do it, practically speaking. But Krishna, being unlimitedly full of sat asaya puna, he can satisfy everyone. So he's uniquely and correctly positioned as the center of all existence, as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna, Dhatur Pravala, and Pravala means the buds. Mm-hmm. So he had his ears had earrings of buds, perhaps. Sometimes when the karnika flower, he would put it behind one ear. He had an earring on one ear only. So he was just, he's the original cool teenager, you know, just with his friend, you know, just twirling a lotus. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that the twirling of the lotus, when he would twirl the lotus, because the Brahmanis were so captivated by him, they felt like their hearts were being twirled. Or also it says, just as this lotus is twirling, simply my heart is twirling when seeing your devotion. So they looked at him, and simply by the glance of Krishna, or rather, Krishna entered their hearts through their glance, because their glance was filled with devotion. So anyway, of course, they wanted to stay with Krishna, and Krishna sent them home. And they said that, oh, well, how can we go home now? We've just left home, and our husbands and everyone, all our parents, everyone, they were cursing us and saying, you can't go, you can't go, you obey us. And we just left. They'll never accept us again. And Krishna said, don't worry, they'll all accept you. And indeed, when they went back, they were accepted. They were ready to stay in the forest and just do service to Krishna, like the other servants, the other Vrindadevi's servants, the Lana Devi's. So they went back and they were accepted. And that's actually the beginning of the Govardhan pastime, because Nanda Maharaj was performing a similar sacrifice for the pleasure of Indra. So that's in the 24th chapter, and then in the 25th chapter. Indra sends so much rain, and Krishna holds up Govardhan Hill and protects all the residents of Vrindavan, including their cows, from the devastation that Indra has caused. And then in the 26th chapter, all the residents of all the cowherd men approach Nanda Maharaj, and they say, Nanda Maharaj, what kind of boy is this? We just, with our own eyes, we saw him lift a mountain with his left hand. What does that mean? If you live, we generally will say that the right hand is the strong hand and the left hand is the weak hand. And what to speak of lifting it with this iPod? Which hand is stronger for you? Left or right?
All right.
Yeah. Well, Krishna lifted the hill, not even with his strong hand. He lifted it, and not only that, with the little finger of his left hand. That means, I mean, how much weight can you carry? I mean, if you went like this, well, like this, you could carry a weight. But you can only carry an most insignificant weight on the little finger of your left hand. And in this way, Krishna protected all his devotees. So, what is the... So we can see even, there's a metaphor in that for us too. There's a lesson in that. That it's not because naturally we hesitate to fully give ourselves to Krishna and place ourselves fully under his protection, because first of all we're afraid we're not going to be satisfied for many reasons, but one of those reasons is that we could say, because he has so many devotees, and how about me? I'm so insignificant. Why would he satisfy me? I'm not going to be satisfied. Then I'll give up everything in this world to take full shelter of Krishna and give everything to Krishna, but I won't be satisfied even, and then that could even cause havoc in my life by the lack of satisfaction. So by separating, as we mentioned, Krishna separates into so many different Krishnas to satisfy all his devotees, because he uniquely has the power, because he's unlimitedly powerful, to satisfy everyone, thousands, millions, billions, unlimited living entities. He has the capacity to satisfy. And he can do all that effortlessly too, just as he lifted Govardhan Hill and gave protection to everyone. So Prabhupada, in one lecture in Mayapur, I don't have the exact quotation, but he said, the purpose of reading all these books, literatures, such as Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is to become convinced that Krishna is all merciful and all powerful, so that we can surrender to him. So that really struck me when I heard Prabhupada say that, because if someone is all merciful but not all powerful, they're all... If someone is, you know, all well-meaning but doesn't have the power, then they may be saying, I'll take care of you, but they don't have the potency to do it. And on the other side, if someone is all-powerful But not all merciful. It's the most dangerous fellow around. But that combination, all powerful and all merciful, now that's who that's the kind of person we want. We feel confident in taking shelter of. So Prabhupada said in this one lecture that the purpose of all the reading and studying of the Shastra is so that we actually become convinced that Krishna is both all-merciful and all-powerful, and then we'll be able to surrender to him, because unless we are convinced of this, we'll sort of surrender to him, but we'll keep something back here so that just in case. So of course, when it's time to die, there's no adjusting, no nothing. All the things we have hidden, they all turn out to be puffs of smoke. You know, they don't have any real substance. And the only thing that will really help us is the all-powerful and all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we want to, in life is meant for developing that type of confidence in him, that if I actually act for his pleasure, then I'll be taken care of. That's where surrender, saranagati, is where bhakti begins. True bhakti begins at that point. So the residents of Vrindavan, they were talking to Nanda Maharaj, and they said, what, your boy, you wonder, he was just holding up Govardhan Hill with one hand. Did you see that? It's quite extraordinary. He's so wonderful. He's so amazing, your boy, Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was so proud of him. And they said, not only that, not only did he hold up Govardhan Hill, then they went through the list of all the demons that Krishna had killed. Who was the first demon that Krishna had killed when he was just a child in the lap of his mother?
Putana.
And then? One in between.
Sakatasura,
then Srinivarta, and then by this time it was also Vatsasura and Bakasura and Putana. So many, Balaram killed Janukasura. So they went through the whole long list of demons and he said, your boy, who is he? And Nanda Maharaj said, all I can say is repeat the words of Garga Muni. Because at the name giving ceremony, Garga Muni said this. He said, Narayana, Samo Vinaya, this boy is equal to Narayana. Equal in qualities to Lord Narayan, and that Anena Sarvadogani, Yaman Yasva Tadishita, that you should take shelter of him and you'll be free from all difficulties. And Nanda Maharaj said, that's all I could say. But he was very, very proud. In other words, he was saying, I'm not saying this, but this is what the great Brahmin personality, the greatest astrologer, Gargacharja, from looking at him, his symptoms, this is what his conclusion was, that he's practically Lord Narayan. So the coward boy, the coward man, was so thrilled by this. Why? It's because they realized they had a deep relationship with. Wait a second. Maybe combining two stories. Yeah, this is where it happens. Just give me a moment, though. And they conclude, after hearing all this, that Krishna is so wonderful. and let me take shelter of Krishna. I'll read that last. This is the last verse from 20. Third chapter. Or 23rd day.
26th
chapter. But also there was something I wanted to say about the end of that 23rd chapter too. The conclusion. The conclusion was, when all the cowherd men had very attentively heard the statements of Gargacharja through Nanda Maharaj, they better appreciated the wonderful activities of Krishna and became very jubilant. What does jubilant mean?
Joyful.
Like joyful and extremely happy and satisfied, because they had already had such a relationship with Krishna. He loved them and they loved him. They began to praise Nanda Maharaj because by consulting him, their doubts about Krishna were cleared. They said, let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us. When angry Indra sent torrents of rain accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds, he immediately took compassion upon us and saved us and our families, cows, and valuable possessions by picking up Govardhan Hill just as easily, or just as a child picks up a mushroom. He saved us so wonderfully. May he continue to glance mercifully over us and our cows. May we live peacefully under the protection of wonderful Krishna. That's such a nice prayer. Why don't we read it line by line. You can repeat after me. Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us.
Let Krishna, who is so kind, beautiful, and merciful, protect us.
When angry Indra sent torrents of rain.
When angry Indra sent torrents of rain.
Accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds.
Accompanied by showers of ice blocks and high winds.
Krishna immediately took compassion upon us.
Krishna immediately took compassion upon us.
And saved us.
And saved us.
And our families.
And our families.
Cows.
Cows.
And valuable possessions.
And valuable possessions.
By picking up Govardhan Hill.
By picking up Govardhan Hill.
Just as a child picks up a mushroom.
Just as a child picks up a mushroom.
He saved us so wonderfully.
He saved us so wonderfully.
May he continue to glance mercifully over us.
May he continue to glance mercifully over us.
And our cows.
And our cows.
May we live peacefully.
May we live peacefully.
Under the protection.
Under the protection.
Of wonderful Krishna.
Of wonderful Krishna.
So then, before we go on, there was one part after the begging. From the Brahmins, unsuccessful begging from the Brahmins by the cowherd boys, but going back a little bit, and then the successful begging from the Brahmanis. Then there's this before the next chapter begins, which is when Krishna speaks to Nanda Maharaj about stopping the Indra sacrifice. There's this little section at the end, but you almost miss it. But it's really interesting. Not there. Where is it? It's in the last chapter. After Krishna has stolen the garments of the gopis in the 22nd chapter, right before he goes to the Brahmins, listen to this. After he steals the garments of the gopis, then he gives them back. Then there's a little section at the end of that chapter that gives us a hint about what the next chapter is about. This is right at the end of that chapter, meaning the next chapter, meaning Krishna going to Bhatral and begging from the Brahmins. Later, Krishna, in the company of his cowherd boyfriends, took shelter of the shade of some trees and became very happy. Thus he addressed the inhabitants of Vrindavan, meaning the cowherd boys, but he was speaking to everyone. My dear Stoka Krishna, my dear Varutapa, my dear Bhadrasena, my dear Sudam, my dear Subal, my dear Arjun, my dear Vishal, my dear Rishab, he's naming, he's speaking to all his friends. Just look at these most fortunate trees of Vrindavan. They have dedicated their lives to the welfare of others. Individually, they are tolerating all kinds of natural disturbances, such as hurricanes, torrents of rain, scorching heat, and piercing cold. But they are very careful to relieve our fatigue and give us shelter. My dear friends, I think they are glorified in this birth as trees. They are so careful to give shelter to others that they are like noble, highly elevated, charitable men who never deny charity to one who approaches them. So, and the very next chapter, the Krishna's glorifying trees as being so charitable, even though it's so difficult for them, their life is so difficult, yet they're completely charitable. And the very next thing he does is send the cowherd boys to approach the Brahmins, and he gets refused. But he continues, no one is denied shelter by these trees. They supply various kinds of facilities to human society, such as leaves, flowers, fruits, shade, roots, bark, flavor extracts, and fuel. They are the perfect example of noble life. So just see how Krishna is, he's defining what nobility in mankind is. And how is he defining it?
Basically, means the tree is very generous.
Yeah, exactly. So one's position in society and one's respect is determined by one's generosity. And that's nobility of spirit. Generosity and willing to give shelter and help to others. They are like a noble person who has sacrificed everything possible, his mind, his body, mind, activities, intelligence, and words for the welfare of all living entities. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead walked on the bank of the Kalindi, touching the leaves of the trees and their fruits, flowers, and twigs, and praising their glorious welfare activities. He's talking about everything in Vrindavan, so generous-hearted. Different people may accept certain welfare activities to be beneficial for human society according to their own views, but the welfare activities that can be rendered to people in general for eternal benefit is the spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada is bringing it, the topic, to the highest point of what is true welfare. Everyone should be prepared to propagate this movement. Propagate means?
Distribute, spread.
As instructed by Lord Chaitanya, one should be humbler than the grass on the ground and more tolerant than the tree. The toleration of the tree is explained by Lord Krishna himself, and those who are engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya through their direct disciples and churches. In other words, if you're going to be, you know, when we're young, we have a romantic idea about, you know, we'll give everything for the benefit, we may have a romantic idea about, for the benefit of humanity, I will give away everything. And then you find out that it's really a lot of trouble. You know, first of all, you no one appreciates it, or some person appreciates it, and someone gets very angry at you, and you find out that you have your own needs that you don't feel like you're satisfied, and rather than wanting to give everything to everyone else, you want to take at least some portion for yourself. So the romance, because it's sentiment, and sentiment means that it's not deep, it's not fully deeply realized, that leaves after a while. So therefore Prabhupada is saying that those engaged in the preaching of Krishna consciousness should learn lessons from the teaching of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna through their direct disciplic succession. So we have to learn these lessons, but this is actually what Mahaprabhu is ordering, this Trinada Pichanichana. You have to be humble, completely humble. If you have false ego, you just get angry. You end up just getting angry and insulted, etc. When people don't give the same value to the message as you think should be valued. So after that little preaching episode, then while passing through the forest of Vrindavan on the bank of the Yamuna, Krishna sat down at a beautiful spot and allowed the cows to drink the cool, cold and transparent water of the Yamuna. Being fatigued, the coward boys, Krishna and Balaram also drank. So Krishna passed all the rest of the morning with the boys, and then he was hungry, and they asked, and they went begging. I wanted to mention that part. So the 26th chapter ends with that was the one where the cowherd men were asking about wonderful Krishna, and the conclusion of what kind of boy is this? And the conclusion of that chapter is that let us all, since Krishna is so unlimitedly powerful, let us all be under the merciful, all-powerful protection and live peacefully under his protection, under his glance. Unless one actually feels that one is under the protection of Krishna, one won't be able to live peacefully in this world. And that's why that Prabhupada called that verse in the fifth chapter, Moktaram Jagatapasam Savalokamayasaram Suridam. That Suridam, that Krishna is the Surit. He's the dearmost friend. But not only he's the friend, but he's, how does the verse begin? Moktaram Jagatapasam. All sacrifices are meant for him. And Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, so that's the all-powerful nature of Krishna. That he is all-powerful, that of all the planets, he is the Maha-Ishwara, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And then he's the Surit also, Suridam Sarvaloka. In everyone's heart, it is Krishna who's there. And then Gyatvamam, knowing that about Krishna, something, one can be peaceful. Because otherwise, if we don't trust Krishna, we don't depend on Krishna, and we don't trust that he's our surit, our near and dear friend, then who are we going to depend on? We either depend on our own power, our own strength, or some other limited person for our happiness, for our shelter, and ultimately our protection. And no one else can really be an asraya, our protection, because no one else is unlimitedly powerful. And look how Krishna has glorified the trees. How wonderful. So then means tomorrow. We'll continue. Then there's 26, and Indra and Sarabi offer their prayers. And then 27, and then 28, Nanda Maharaj, and then we'll go right to the end of 28. We'll pass quickly through those other parts and get to the end of 28, which is where I wanted to speak from. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. See, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ki jai.
Were the Brahmins, were they older ladies, or?
Probably.
Yeah, because I just can't understand how come, you know, they were concerned about their position being the wife, you know, of their husband, after giving food to Krishna. If they were older Brahmins, you know, Krishna was a young boy at the time.
So they had completely fell in love with Krishna, so they weren't old ones. They were young ones. Must be. because they didn't have the Vatsalya Ras. What Krishna had Madhurya Ras. Would have been, yeah.
Does that mean they would see Krishna as sort of older, even though he was a young boy at the time?
But it doesn't say how old they were at all. So Krishna was already, Krishna's pastimes, he could manifest, he was just in Pogandalila, that means 5, 6, 7, but he could manifest all the qualities of Kishore Lila even in Pogandalila. So that's part of what it means to be the unlimited, all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can do all kinds of amazing things.
One of those childhood boys, I just can't remember all the details, but he was in Caitanya Leela and he was living, it was in the village where Lord Nityananda was married, just near Nishimapali.
Ambika Khan.
Ambika Khan, that's right. When Lord Caitanya first sort of manifested himself as like a devotee, he stayed at that devotee's place who used to be the cowherd boy in Krishna Leela. I just can't think of his name. I've heard the story, but and he was sending him out each day to collect alms for him. So it was sort of reenacting that same pastime.
Not Gorida.
Could be Goridas, yeah. Yeah, because Goridas beat you from Ambika Khan.
Yeah.
Yeah, there must be Goridas. But yeah. But it was the same devotee in Krishna Leela.
Yeah.
So it was the same pastime.
Is that near Nisringapalli?
Not far from.
Oh, really? Yeah. I never could figure out where the things are.
Yeah.
Where the places are.
Yeah. I did a pritrama. A couple of years ago when we did Nishimapalli and Ambika Khan in the same trip. So it wasn't far. Yeah.
It's on the other side though.
Yeah, it could be.
The side of the Ganga, but there's a bridge that's not taken.
Because Nishimapalli is closer to Krishnanagar, isn't it?
No, it's in Gordon.
Okay, I don't know. That's what I said.
You go to Thakur's house and then up.
But it's far, it's quite a few kilometers from there.
The other way on the other side. But if you go up from Ambika Khan to Navadvip and you cross the bridge to Bhaktivinoda Gopas and go up to Nishimapalli.
Yes.
Yeah, Nishimapalli is on the south side of Parikram.
Yeah, it's not that far, Nishimapalli. You can walk there quite easily. Yeah. It was just interesting hearing that past time that the tour to make with there. These devotees have eternal leela somehow, but you know, every time they appear, they're doing the same sort of activity.
Wouldn't it be nice to have such a taste that our mind wanted to be always absorbed? The mind was naturally attracted to be always absorbed in these things, otherwise, yeah. Yeah.
We've been entering demons, you know. They sound kind of simplistic in one sense, you know.
Well, the manual also sounds pretty simplistic too in one sense.
Like, just in a sense, it's like, you know, the cow demon, the duck demon, or, you know. Is that what they name themselves, or is just
you mean the mother? Oh, what a cute little duck demon. Baki.
So, what's the conclusion of this?
People get named according to their qualities, like that. So,
So astrologically they were giving these things?
No. Like nicknames. Hey, it's Fatty, that boy, stuff like that. What did they call you when you were young?
I didn't have any nicknames.
Yeah. You just don't want to tell. Did you have a nickname when you were young?
Can't say.
Would anyone admit to one of their nicknames? It was based on their qualities.
Wombat.
Wombat. I thought you called him that.
No, unfortunately not.
You always tell me you called him that.
I thought it was Wombat. No, I'm being honest.
Truth eventually comes out. What are the specific qualities of a wombat?
I don't know whether he just liked the sound of it. Whenever he said it, had five of them.
Well, Dhritarashtra. Dhrita means holding on to the kingdom. And that's certainly what he did. And like someone like Vatsasura, who is, Vatsa means calf. So he assumed the form of a calf in it, probably. Huh? Yeah, but before that he was probably had another name.
Yeah. You mean you're worried that the mothers of these demons gave him some name?
Simplistic was the word. And what was it? Self-fulfilling prophecy. He was going to be a good boy and go to university and everything, but with a name like that, what else could he do? Any other questions? Tomorrow we shall continue.